So, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Oh, hold on a second. It's a little bit uncomfortable. Here, let me adjust.
This is a safe place, Gary.
Oh, I know. I'm sitting on this thing. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, you can go to a slim wallet, you know. There's a reduced number of cards you're carrying around. Better for your back.
Cool. It's cooler than that. Here, hold on. Here, check this out.
Holy shit, Gary.
I know. I've been nesting it. It's an egg.
Why are all these faces around it?
Huh? Well, I don't know, but I figured it's best not to ask questions.
Okay.
I found it in the woods out behind my house.
Was it next to a bunch of Playboys?
Yeah, it was next to a bunch of Playboys. It was next to a porno VHS called Gushers, Phoenix Releasing. which is an actual porn I found in an apartment I moved into once. Releasing.
Phoenix Releasing.
It was like an anime subtitle for it. Gushers. Phoenix Releasing. Esoteric Attack.
Can I tell you about a porno that I found in a neighbor's yard after they moved out?
Yeah.
Ass, and Moass.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Exactly what it says.
Was it MOW ass, and that's why it was in the yard?
Yep.
Like ass and mo ass.
It was a slasher film, Gary.
I'd have been mowing ass.
I was very upset. It was like Mannequin.
Anywho, I found this egg. It was in this nest. There was some skulls and twigs and stuff around it. And I figured, you know, I've seen a lot of movies. I figure if I hatch this thing, I'm going to be able to ride it.
Mm-hmm.
I might learn how to train it. You know, because I'm thinking it's either a Jurassic Park or a dragon. It's one of those things.
It's a whole Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's
a whole
give me
island
one of each,
off
please.
Of Puerto Rico or Costa
excuse
Rica.
Excuse me, Ovum. Give me one of each. that's my nerdy requesting of an Ovum character I'm working on.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'm glad I invited you over because I want you to be around when it hatched.
Okay. No.
The internet said it should hatch soon.
I would have brought some, you know, measuring tape or something for baby,
like, well,
baby shower
baby
games.
Yeah, give me a fucking crib, dude. you're supposed to give me a bounce house.
No,
or a swing-a-jig.
I'm just going to bring the chips and the napkins, dog.
Okay. All right, everybody gets to paint their own bib. Okay, wait. Wait, it's cracking.
Oh, the miracle of life, Gary.
I know I'm going to be a mother. oh, well, weird. Like, there's no dragon in this. It's just this SNES card.
Huh. That's weird. This isn't a video game podcast.
The King of Dragons.
Oh, cool. Great. That's pretty good. I like this game.
Yeah, wonderful. I remember this from arcades. Now I can play it at home. Thanks, Capcom. Marketing thing for you to abandon eggs in the forest filled with your games. But it worked in this case.
No, they just sent out a street team.
Like a delay eggs. Yeah. Like once you get impregnated with the Capcom street team enzyme, you can lay Capcom eggs anywhere you like.
A mysterious stranger seduces you in a bar, and after a night of consensual passion, you just go around and spread the word of the King of Dragons.
Yeah, your face you lay face eggs all night that are filled with Kings and Dragons cards.
Yeah, I know.
After the stranger makes your face pregnant.
You lay face eggs.
You're like Birdo in this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Line up for your injection, teens. Thanks for joining the Capcom Street Team.
Please proceed in an orderly fashion
to the impregnation chamber. Here are common places to lay your marketing eggs. Forests, bus stations, hotel bathrooms.
Transients, seeping wounds.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I got a bad case of the King of Dragons.
Gary, who are you?
Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the games podcast. Usually bad games podcast.
Usually bad games. But this is like a games podcast. Yeah, no, this is a secret version of Watch Out for Fireballs.
Yeah, like a miniature, more aggressive version of Watch Out for Fireballs.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to us?
why are you doing this to us? Or what did we do to earn this?
Yeah, we did good.
Yeah.
Good boys get treats. Yeah.
You know, Gary, I was always...
I just suffering. Good boys get treats.
I always said... over these, 31 previous episodes, that eventually one of these leaps is going to be the leap home. We thought we had it with Pac-Man 2, but it wasn't quite.
Yeah, no. But yeah, this is the King of Dragons suggested by Brian Wade.
Yeah.
With no commentary or anything. Like, there's a place where you can say why you suggest a game. Brian didn't say anything. He just kind of dropped this in the box. Yeah. Do you think he meant it for a different show?
Maybe.
Like,
no, it's... Like, we say it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a Capcom beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those old shit things. No, they're great.
Like, like hardly a bad one in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the
Capcom beat 'em up.
This was an actual arcade game.
Like, yeah. Yep, it's on those arcade, classics collections and stuff. And it's also a little bit more ambitious than an usual arcade beat 'em up. This is a precursor to the Shadow of Mystara,
yeah,
and Tower of Doom. Like, your characters level up, you get new equipment, and stuff. It's really ambitious and cool.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
Those war crimes, the Mystara games.
Yeah, yeah, which are some of my favorite games ever. I think those are the best beat 'em ups.
Yeah. So I don't even know how to proceed, because the graphics are good.
Yep, graphics are good.
It looks good. Like, it sounds fine.
The music's a little bit repetitive, but that's fine.
Maybe the play is a little bit repetitive too. You really only have the attack, jump, and special. But I fucking love any of the other Capcom/Konami beat 'em ups that only have that level of articulation. I wouldn't say accepting the exclusion of a jump attack, this is about as complex as X-Men for the arcade is. That's one of my favorite games ever.
Jump
attack,
it's just not very strong. You just attack in the air, but while jumping.
Yeah, but it doesn't do the diagonal death from above kind of thing.
Dive.
Yeah,
yep, the dive kick. It's even a little bit, because if your character class with a shield, you can block.
Oh, wow.
This, which I haven't seen in a beat 'em up before.
Huh.
But yeah, and the one thing I would say that makes it a little bit, you have a wide variety of characters that all play pretty differently.
Mm-hmm. You have five classes? There's elf, thief, wizard.
Yeah, no thief, but there's an elf, dwarf, cleric, fighter, wizard. It's the original D&D.
Okay.
I guess that did have a thief. It had a rogue.
Yeah.
But it's the original D&D minus a rogue. they all play very differently. Which is really cool. I ended up going cleric.
Okay.
Because he was looked like the jack of all trades. And I got really far in this game.
How far did you get?
I almost beat it. I got to stage 8.
Okay.
On one quarter, I continued, died a couple times, but I never, I don't know, I didn't change my level of continues or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So two continues, a few lives each one. Got to level 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's also, for a beat 'em up, it's also surprisingly fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, you dodge out of the way of the enemies and you can block, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like Stone Protectors where they stun lock you or throw too much stuff at you. You actually stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I only got so far as the galleon full of skeletons. Which
big difficulty jump there. The skeletons are tough.
A little bit, yeah, because they're being carried in by harpies and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did they have licenses for that shit? Because there's a bunch of stuff that probably was intellectual property.
Nothing really shows up. There's no beholders or anything.
Right. Right.
It's all pretty standard. I think that nobody owns a gnoll.
Suppose, or yeah, or an orc. Aren't orcs just Tolkien? Because there's probably some kind of Norse boat people who, you know, called their enemies orcs or whatever, and thus it's in the public domain. But, like, they look crazy like D&D orcs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it was a copyright thing, you couldn't have moblins Zelda, because those are essentially orcs.
True, true.
Yeah, orcs are in the public domain, and then a lot of the stuff, this game has a lot of Greek mythology, like, you know, Cyclopses and Minotaurs and
shit. The Hydra, yeah.
Yeah, Hydra. Yeah. Yep. The Hydra boss fight's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. Why is the game so good? Like, it's not great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we'd probably be ragging on it if it was a Watch Out for Fireballs episode. Mm-hmm.
Saying, like, oh, like, why didn't they do more? Like, okay, so this was maybe a couple of years before the Mystara games, so they were just getting their feet. Like, why didn't we do this? Like we would be talking about how simplistic it is, but, like, in this venue, like, I was expecting it to be, like, I saw Dragon in the title, and I was expecting a DBZ game.
Yeah, so. Or I was expecting it to be, like, a shitty side-scrolling shooter where I controlled a dragon or something like that. And I've actually played this a bunch. I just didn't realize it from the title.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah. Like, I played this. This was just standard in the arcades when I was growing up. Like, the 1994 arcades, like, that's when I was going to arcades. And it was, or I guess 1994 for Super Nintendo, but 1991 for the actual arcade. But that was my arcade time. So
okay,
this is something I popped many a quarter into this game.
Yeah, but like the second I saw the character selection, I was like, this is Mystara. Like, this is the D&D, like, Chronicles stuff.
Yep. It's like the D&D Zero. It's the Demon Souls to those games, you know? Or the Kingsfield to those games.
I guess.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super good. I don't know what Brian's thinking.
No. Like, he probably, you know, like a clown killed his father while he was playing this.
Yeah, what happened, Brian?
Please. We would really like to know. Because.
Yeah, what?
Like, we don't call people's opinions into question on this too often, but I have to call your opinion into question. Like, okay, so if you hadn't recommended so many bad games to us in the past, if we hadn't told you to go fuck yourself in a very inappropriate, like, display of, you know, pod chauvinism or whatever, like, so many times, I'd be like, okay, yeah, like, just like, you can call him, like, you don't fall off, like, you gave us a good time.
Yeah, it makes me want to explain the concept of the show to you.
Because we're kind of backed into a corner now, because, like, what do we do besides talk about the Mystara games, because they are the next realm.
Yeah, this is, I mean, yeah, there's nothing about this that is worthy of fun. Or worthy of making fun. Yeah. It's all worthy of having fun.
Yeah. Have there been any
go play and have fun.
Have there been any cultural events up in Portland that you've been to recently, Gary?
Sure. I recently I went to the Faux Museum. I mentioned off mic. Went as a weirdo. Has a little fake school fair. He's like it's a single one room museum that a guy runs.
Okay.
He's real goofy. His name's Tom. He's a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a board on it where you could throw a little Velcro ball at a mat, and it corresponds. You hit a number, which corresponds to a list of ways that you're going to die.
Okay.
And the one I got was pissed off curator, which is, you know, kind of cute.
So Tom was going to kill you.
Yeah. There's a room that has a keyboard in it where it is. It has this like big essay about how there's no original sounds, and the keyboard is attached to a sampler, and each key is a famous person's. Kind of yell from a song in key, so you can play it and it sounds like you're playing, you know, like Aretha Franklin and Frank Black and, you know, Little
Cobain.
Richard. Yeah, like a, you know, just they're like apart from the song where they're just going like you know, in there, and then like, or yodels or something like that, like some of them are more tuneful. That's fun. So I went and did what have you done recently?
what cultural events have you been done?
What have you been done? There have been culture in Cincinnati?
You know what? I haven't been to too much of anything. I was about to say, I went to a Mountain Goats concert, but that was about a year ago. So. That says less about Cincinnati than my general habits and the way I live my life.
Yeah. And sadly, I was going to, and it's not a big deal, I'm not saying this to guilt you, but if we weren't recording right now, I'd be going to see James Adomian do comedy.
Oh, wow.
He's doing that tonight. So I went to that.
Yeah,
it's okay that I didn't.
No, just a bunch of bars, honestly. Like just like family. I went thrifting, Gary. I went.
Oh,
Yeah, no, I went to, so my brother, Chris, from those damn Ross kids, if you don't know, he is a noted thrift hound. So his job requires him to drive around, to different towns, because he's like a salesman, not like a traveling, you know, Willie Loman salesman, but like for a big company, and just drives around a lot. And so when he's in different cities in North Central Ohio, he stops by like Goodwill, Volunteers of America, the, Salvation Army. Basically any place where a bunch of dead people's possessions are dropped off. And so he's really good. So like he'll buy me puzzles from there. Not like jigsaw puzzles, but like he got me this, like just anything that involves a bunch of wood, rope, and metal. He'll get me or magnets, you know, like just every time he goes, he like gets something. And every time I see him, he just hands me a bag and says, here you go. And it's like, awesome. I have like a bunch of stuff put on shelves now. You know, until I get tired of it, and then it goes to somebody else. last time he was down, he got me a crystal set to do with my niece, and also a bendy wire Hey Arnold doll.
Oh
yeah, so that's that's on my shelf along with my like Cthulhu doll and my Sonic doll from childhood, and all of the Nintendo dolls that I swapped heads on. When I was real drunk one night. I went thrifting with him this past weekend because I was up there for his birthday, and I got it's a Guitar Hero 5 controller for Xbox 360 wireless, Gary, for $3.
Okay. That's really cheap.
That is incredibly cheap. So some batteries seeped inside of it. But I'm not quite certain. So I haven't tried it out. Like I just got home from Mansfield before we recorded this, so I haven't had a chance to try it out. But like with this, my entire set is complete, replacing my old my old wireless Guitar Hero controller. And I might be able to have Rock Band parties at work.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I know, right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Partying like it's 2009.
Really long time.
Yeah.
Nick's got a full set. I need to go over to his house and make him bust it out.
Yeah.
Because I haven't played in a while and it's real fun. I told you before that Ground Control does Rock Band karaoke,
right? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I've always been kind of sad that I haven't been out there to see it participate, really. I mean,
it's very cool.
I love doing the vocals, man. That's my jam.
Yeah.
Super
fun.
Yeah, no, I've got the so like if this thing works, and I might go try it out after we record. but if it works, I'll have a full set, including like pro instruments. So
$5, some seepage.
So, $3, some seepage. Oh. It was worth it. I also bought two granite bookends and a bell that says Kentucky, but it has a cardinal on it for a coworker who likes both Kentucky, because she's from there, and cardinals. So
it's perfect.
I know, right?
Maybe she made it when she was growing up and her parents gave it away.
I know.
To Goodwill, it's like my favorite Goodwill thing.
It's like a Bobo store. High school art, yeah?
Yeah, like it's like parents are just like, oh, fuck this shit. And they're like just giving these, you know, really garbage drawn like eyes. You know, like some just, you know, drew an eye in the corner of a notebook.
Yeah.
And ends up for $5 at Goodwill.
So if I was to have like a disregard for the space around me and, you know, just like to go crazy and have plenty of space, what I would do is collect Goodwill art. Like just go and pick up any shitty painting of a boat that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real point to that. I would do that.
I've got some Goodwill art.
The needlepoint that asks, like, is that pixel art? And like, no, that's Goodwill needlepoint.
Yeah, it's the guy with the law degree. Like, it's this guy with a 70s mustache who just got a law degree. I've got like a koi seal that's above my toilet. Occasionally, like that's one of the few places in Goodwill that is consistently entertaining to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tend to, you know, my heuristic is instruments. Mm-hmm. Video games and then art.
Yeah,
in a Goodwill.
Yeah, no good games.
That almost never happens.
Yeah,
and then now they're expensive too. Like the good Goodwill in Portland has you know fairly spendy games. Like you can find something that's like, oh, I wouldn't mind having that, but it costs the same as it would at a GameStop.
Yeah.
There's a Goodwill here in Portland that is just big tables full of like garbage that you just buy by the pound.
Okay.
Like there's no sorting that happens.
Is it like buying a lot on eBay?
No. Well, you just take as much, you just dig through it. It's called the bins is what it's colloquially colloquially known as. And you just dig through it and take whatever you want, and you just buy it by the pound. Hmm. Clothing, books, CDs,
yeah,
computers, TVs, anchors.
Oh, and organs, there are TV cameras, and they open it up, and then you like take a look at it for 5 seconds, and they close it, and then you bid.
I wish. Like, I would go do that. Like, I always wanted one of those bidding experiences like that. Yeah. No, it's just, you just elbow a bunch of guzzbos who are doing the same thing as you. And just try to get in there. One of my buddies visited me, and he loves thrifting and stuff. And uh-huh. He spent, like, half the time I was, like, he went out to that place when it opened and just hung out, like, all day instead of hanging out with me one day. Because they bring in a new truck every hour.
Oh, wow.
And he's just like, you know, he's so into treasure hunting. Like, that's so... Mm-hmm. You know, because he takes this stuff and he repurposes it and sells it. So
yeah,
it's a real treasure hunt for him. Mm-hmm. And just spent the whole time. I was really insulted. I was like, why are we hanging out?
Yes.
Why are you going to the Goodwill to look at them? Well, you know, this is stuff that other Goodwills don't want. You know, it's all trash.
It's like the dregs of the dregs.
It's literally the dregs. It's like the stuff that they, you know, the last stop before they grind it up and put it into school lunches.
You know, like, yeah, this is about to become stuffing for Chinese stuffed animals.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. This is going to become repurposed in some terrible way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's something weird about, like, my selection of places to live here in Cincinnati. So I used to live up in a place called Woodlawn, which is right next to the Northwestern Cincinnati Distribution Center for Goodwill. Mm-hmm. And I went there probably like every like 3 weeks or so. I had like a little reminder set to go look. Never found anything good, but like it's where all of the Goodwill stuff went before it went anywhere else. And so where I live now, which is a neighborhood called Hyde Park, I'm right next to the Central Cincinnati Distribution Center for Goodwill. And I go there probably like every like 4 weeks or so. Like once a month I try and go, but I never find anything good. Like Chris, so this is just an ad for those damn Ross kids. But like there's something about Chris where he will find the absolute best thing. Mm-hmm. Wherever he goes, like I'm convinced that I only found that Guitar Hero controller because Chris was there.
Yeah,
like, because I'm always keeping a lookout for that, because like Guitar Hero controllers or any of those like music game peripherals, they're either $2 or $110, right?
Yeah, depending on whether the person who's selling it knows, you know, that the market has totally dropped out for those.
Right
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, the last time I was out with him, like, I found, like, just this gaggle, this whole collection of, like, Labyrinth games, you know, like that wooden curio game where you have the marbles.
Yeah, the marble.
Yeah. So, like, I found that, like, I have a, you know, just this thing on my coffee table that whenever somebody comes over, they're like, oh, I want to play that. And it's, you know, it's Labyrinth. It's, like, right there. It was like $2. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's attractive. Like, that's a good find.
Yeah. And so, like, I just don't have the touch, whereas he does. And maybe your friend who, like, forwent your company to go to that, maybe he has the touch as well, because obviously he's making enough money to be like, fuck you, off of it.
Yeah. I don't think he got anything that time, which made it a little bit worse.
Yeah.
You know what a fun thrift store thing is that I have had good luck with is old tabletop game books.
Oh, really?
Like, I've managed to rebuy all of the old tabletop game books that meant something to me when I was young through Goodwills.
Wow.
So I've got the Monster Manual and the second edition Shadowrun book, and just to flip through and look at art, you know, and just feel like, oh, shit. You know, like, there's nothing, you know, I'm not going to run a second edition D&D game right now, but being able to look through that, look at those monster stats and those illustrations is really satisfying.
Yeah, but, like, as an artifact, it is totally satisfying to have for 50 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a whole, like, my whole bottom shelf. I've got a boxed Ravenloft set. Like, I've got a bunch of cool D&D stuff.
Like, all from Goodwill?
That I'll never do anything with. Yeah.
Right.
And I'll never do anything with it.
You could do worse with your shelf space, though.
Like, yeah, it's just to look at. It's just every once in a while, like, I want to just flip through a book. I also, for a while, was collecting game guides and ended up giving a bunch of them away. But for a while, it's also good for that.
Yeah.
That's how I can tell, like, a PC game that I'm going to love is if the manual for it is with the game guides. Like, someone did not realize this came with the game and is an instruction manual because it's so thick and awesome. Like that Baldur's Gate 2 manual that just is amazing.
Yeah.
And essentially, like, it is like a second edition rule book. Pretty much.
Same thing with Neverwinter Nights as well. That's a third edition rule book.
Yeah. It has the whole back half is all spells.
Yep.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like a little like rudimentary guide to the world creation system for the Neverwinter Nights one. Yeah. There's a wonderful used book place called Half Price Books that is
I love Half Price Books.
Oh,
I haven't been in a long time, but
I did not realize that was national.
They're not out here, but they are Midwestern. I've been to it is a chain. Like I've been to a couple of them in the Midwest.
Yeah. But I had a bad experience where before I moved last year, I took all of my old just trash paperbacks. It's like I don't really feel like moving these, and I got like $30 for like a bunch of trash paperbacks and DVDs. And I was like, oh, I have them all ripped anyway. It's fine, but I spent all of that on old game guides because I also collect strategy guides for games I don't even own that I'm interested in. Yeah.
I've only kept a couple of them. Like I've got all the Fallout games, and I've got just my favorites.
Yeah.
The only thing I kept.
Yeah. But that is that is all good. I don't know.
It's such a funny business, like the strategy guide business. Mm-hmm. Like what a boutique market when like in a world with game facts. You know, or in a world with the internet.
In a world that has had game facts for 15 years. So, like, 1998 is the year that I consider GameFAQs coming into existence. Maybe it was GameSages before that. But, like, right now, it's been around for 15 years. But most of the strategy guides that I own have been published since then. And, like, I've objected to buying them new since then, right? But I still own, like, a whole IKEA Billy shelf of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. Like, most of the strategy guides I would have are post-game facts. Not all of them, but many of them.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like if you want it as, like, an artifact. You know, like, I don't really understand the mentality of buying those new.
No.
You know, I mean, I have the Dark Souls one, which I bought because of it having art and weird, you know, kind of things because of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And I have the two new Fallout ones because they're big, nice hardcovers.
Right.
And I like having a big map above my... above my wall when I play through those games.
Yeah.
But
right behind me, right behind me on my closet doors, I have pinned up the Fallout 3 DC Wasteland map, you know?
Yeah. That map guided me well.
Yep.
But and like, other than that, like for the most part, like who's buying a guide? And I guess for like fighting games, it's useful to have like a table guide with all the moves and shit.
Like maybe.
But who's buying like a guide for like Dexter and Jax?
Jack you and know? Dexter?
Yeah, Jack and Daxter.
You're not talking about... I was about to say John C. Reilly.
But... Yeah, my series where it's Dexter from Dexter and then Jax from Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
It was like, it's that moment I realized that Jax would never understand me and that he would always be prey.
Why are you turning into Arthur Geese, Gary?
Because that's that's how Dexter talks. Arthur Geese talks like Dexter. That's what I realized. I would never fit in among them.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was no blood, and I was very jealous because there was no blood. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I wish that I could be like them, but I can't. The mask I wear is different than the mask they wear. My dad is John Lithgow. Oh, wait, he was a villain. I just thought he was John Lithgow.
This is a bad TV show.
That would be a better show if my dad was John Lithgow.
Yeah, none of the characters in the show are any good.
Yeah.
I watched the first season of Dexter, and there's the black cop who literally is like, you know, constantly looking at him like, I get the heebie-jeebies from you, Dexter. Like, he's always, I swear to God, he says something like that.
Oh, you know, Lordy.
About you, Dexter.
I've watched, okay, so my only experience with Dexter, and I realize we're going long because of our just complete digression. I've watched the first episode of, like, okay, I've watched 3/5 of the first episode of Dexter maybe 8 times.
Yeah.
But I fall asleep every single time. I was in my apartment in Brooklyn when I first tried watching Dexter for the first 3 times. It's like laying there like, oh, I'm gonna go back to
It's so fucking stupid. Like, people say it gets good, but I'm so vindicated by the fact that it's got one of the worst, like, it's widely considered to have one of the worst endings in TV history.
Ugh.
Like, he decides to become a lumberjack. I think it just ends. Like,
I'm sorry,
like,
what?
Yeah, he becomes a lumberjack.
Jesus.
And that's it.
It's like a
he grows a beard, becomes a library lumberjack. So see, imagine if that happened to Walter White. Like, how unsatisfying it would be if that ended with him just, like, you know, being this anti-hero and just being like, well, I'm going to go live with nature for the rest of my life. The end credits.
Well, his version of that would just be dying of cancer in that cabin, which I would have been fine with. But
which I would have been fine with, too. Like, I'm saying, but imagine if he just got away with it and just, like, had a life at peace with nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Jesus.
Dumb.
Yeah, no, that's pretty bad. I don't know. Ugh. Like my objections are more shallow, which is just that he's really hard to watch.
Yeah, he is a hard man to look at.
Yeah,
I agree. And the thing about that, so I watched the whole first season. He's by far the best actor and most interesting character on the show, at least in the first season, which is saying a lot. Like, I don't find him particularly compelling, but everyone around him is worse. Yeah, his sister is really annoying.
Well, his sister/slash wife.
Yeah, his weird, like, what is going on with that show? Like, it's like when people describe what happens in True Blood without me knowing it. Or actually, it's more like, I used to have a fun game, which was ask a student worker to explain to me the plots of Twilight novels. because, like, in my line of work, I oftentimes am the supervisor for college students. Mm-hmm. And having them explain just factually and with a straight face what happens in Twilight books is really fun. Like, just, oh, and then she gets pregnant, but then she has to be, or she gets pregnant and has to become a vampire so the baby doesn't rip out of her stomach. And it's born, you know.
Like, otherwise she'll be paralyzed. So she begs Edward to bite her. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And then the baby is born and the werewolf is in love with the baby and tries to run off with it. And it's like, what are you talking about? Huh? And I've had it, like, multiple jobs. Like, that fun game has stayed with me state to state. One of my student workers will be reading Twilight. And I'm like, oh, reading Twilight, eh? She's like, yeah, this is my second time. I've already read it. I'm like, tell me what happens in the last one. And then you can just, like, sit back and have some popcorn and listen to, like, a 21-year-old girl tell me with a straight face that she's into this book about, like, werewolves, you know, running away to elope with babies. And,
yeah. Like, So I have a similar experience, but with my little sister, who just turned like 15, like a week ago as of recording. And so, like, she's a big, like, Twilight and Supernatural fan, and, you know, she's cool otherwise. No, she's great. But just, like, hearing her just, like, talking, like, hey, you know, like, what do you read? Because, like, I look at her as just this kind of, you know, microcosm of, like, me. Like, she's like a younger version of me, except, like, female and, like, less awkward. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, way more socially competent. But, you know, like, I try and encourage her to, you know, like, every time I hear about her, you know, like, oh, I'm in show choir. Oh, that's awesome. Like, that's where I made, like, a bunch of my friends, and that's where I broke out of my shell, and that's, like, just the best. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to spend your time in high school, right? Like, it keeps you off the pipe. but she talks about reading stuff. And so, like, you know, like, at that time I was reading, like, R.A. Salvatore or whatever. And so, like, you talking to college students is me talking to my little sister, but hearing the plot of the last novel of Twilight was me, like, asking her, so why aren't you allowed to read the last novel of Twilight? And she says, like, all of those same things that happen, like, oh, the birth scene is really gross, and then there's, like, the werewolf does something super creepy with the baby, and, like, she becomes a vampire for a stupid reason. And it's like, so why are you being kept from reading this? Because, like, you know everything that happens, and you're totally equipped to, like, deal with that, and you're 15, so what?
Yeah. Makes no sense at all. No sense. Hmm. Much like how it makes no sense that Brian suggested this game.
Yeah. Let's draw this to a close.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Brian?
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, don't go fuck yourself, but no. Also, huh? Yeah. So.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed that last, like, 25 minutes of us just talking about life.
Like, just nonsense, because what else are we, what are we going to do?
Man.
So what we're doing next time is Body Harvest for Nintendo 64.
Holy shit. That's another one of those, like balls that I saw just infinite magazine ads for in GamePro. Yeah.
I remember seeing, I don't know what it is, but I've seen it a lot.
it's actually, like, it's conceptually kind of cool. So it's like the N64's closest approximation of an open world game.
Isn't that like Space Station Silicon Valley?
Even more than that, actually.
Okay.
Because like Silicon Valley is more, it's definitely like a rare kind of thing, whereas this is them trying to do like Grand Theft Auto before Grand Theft Auto was a thing.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking it out. You should look forward to checking out, and we'll keep this short because the episode was long.
Yep.
Check out the other shows on the network. If you go to duckfeed.tv, you can see a lot of different shows that are of interest to people who like this kind of content.
Yeah, such as so Bonfireside Chat, as of the time you're hearing this, we are jumping into Dark Souls 2. So if you are a fan of the Souls series of games, which if you are, welcome to the club. Or, you know, thank you for staying in the
remaining
club.
In the club?
Yeah. And if you're not, hop on that, because it is definitely a way to go.
This is the best video game that's ever been. I think Dark Souls is the best video game.
Of the past decade, at least.
At the least. Like, it might be my favorite game.
Yep.
Like, it probably is taking the cake for that. Like, it's so good. I've gotten so much enjoyment out of it.
Like, time has only galvanized that opinion. So, usually stuff fades. This has not. So Dark Souls 2 may be complete garbage. Who knows? But find out with us. That is Bonfireside Chat.
Indeed.
Yep.
You can check out Watch Out for Fireballs, which is a book club style show about old video games. You can check out Those Damn Ross Kids, which is a comedy show that we referred to earlier with Thrift King Chris Ross and Cole.
Thrift King.
The Level. Which is a roundtable video game discussion with news and what you've been playing and the like.
And checking out Comrade, which is an indie games kind of like, I would say Discovery Cast would be the way to go about that, would be the way to describe it.
Oftentimes the things are new to us as well.
Yeah.
It's just two games per episode every 2 weeks, 15 minutes. This is what's neat. We're trying to get to the core of what is a cool thing about a game.
Yeah. And it is wonderful.
Indeed.
Cool.
And then finally, Hex Crank, which is a survival horror blog that Cole does, that is on the network, that is very good.
Yeah.
And is a chronological long-term study of the genre.
The most recent article is either about Uninvited or Waxworks. So.
Oh, Waxworks. Yeah, good luck with that one, buddy.
That classic, yeah.
Yeah. The Uninvited is good, at least.
You take the good with the bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you have.
Yeah.
Go to duckfeed.tv, tip jar, follow us on Facebook, iTunes ratings, reviews, all those things.
Yeah.
And play King of the Dragons.
It's so good. Like, it won't entertain you for like hours, but like if you're emulating it or whatever, like just go for it.
Yeah. And it's two player simultaneous co-op too, which like we didn't do that, but like this would be a blast on the couch.
Yeah.
You know, like that is a good time.
Good stuff. So until next time.
Yep. Umbasa.
Umbasa.